Well, hello everybody, and welcome to session number 4 of our 4-week study on the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. Hard to believe it's the end of February.
End of February. February today, the 24th.
Time has flown by.
Of 2021.
Like yeah.
It's crazy.
Second month of the year. We have really been enjoying this 4-week study. It's been good for Reverend Katie and me to be reading these verses and studying them and talking about them.
And so, do we want to just give a quick recap of what we've covered so far? So, this is our 4th one, but this might be your first one just to be scrolling along on Facebook. So, to give just a quick recap. So, in the book of Jonah, which is in the Old Testament, we have the prophet who is named Jonah. And God tells him to go to Nineveh, and he says, no way. And so, he runs over and tries to go to Tarshish. And God says, that will not do. And so, while he's trying to flee, he sends a big storm on the boat that Jonah is trying to flee from. And the sailors throw Jonah overboard to kind of save their lives, and God provides a whale or a big fish that swallows him up. And then, you want to take it from there?
Then in the belly of the fish, he prays and basically consents to do what God wants him to do. The fish, according to the words of the story, vomits him up. Mm-hmm. And he goes to Nineveh, where he preaches a very simple word of repentance, and they all repent in sackcloth and ashes. And that leads us to chapter 4.
Leads us to today.
If you've not read the book of Jonah as we're doing this, read it. It's an easy read, just 4 chapters long, a fascinating story.
Absolutely. So if it's all right with you, I'm going to open us up in prayer, and then we'll dive in.
That'll be good.
Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for having an opportunity to dig into your word. Help us to put aside distractions and to see what you have to say for us this day. Open up your scripture to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We have on our table some props here that we think are kind of pertinent to our story for today.
Absolutely.
First one over here is a little globe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do you think the globe is part of our prop setting today?
Because we miss travel.
Oh my goodness. I look at the globe and think I want to go here and here and here, and that day is coming.
It's
but
coming.
Alas, that's not the reason it's up there, we know. It's up there because God called Jonah to go to a place where he didn't want to go.
Yeah. And instead of going exactly where we wanted to go, let's see if we can pull it up quickly, and I don't know if y'all can see this. So Jonah is about somewhere around here, and God calls him to go about right here. So Jonah flees all the way over here. And this is pretty much where the known world is at this time. They haven't made it all the way over here yet. And so he is trying to go, instead of here, and by land, he'll take water, and he wants to go about as far away across the world as possibly could be going.
He was headed to Spain, somewhere near the Rock of Gibraltar. So he was headed the opposite direction. But the globe reminds us that God loves the whole world, and not just the people of Israel, the whole world, including the people of Nineveh. And Jonah just had a tough time getting a handle on that.
Yeah, sometimes we do that
sometimes
too.
Sometimes
it's hard
do
to
too.
Get everybody in the globe through our minds.
Yep. So that's up there to remind us. And the second prop is a picture of Reverend Lee Joyner.
Mm-hmm.
As you may or may not know, I served as the pastor of a church named in her memory, Lee Joyner Memorial United Methodist Church in Monroe, for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And she was one of the first clergy persons who were female in our Louisiana annual conference.
Absolutely. And she was the first, I believe, when the denominations kind of joined together. They weren't allowed to have women at that time, but she was kind of grandmothered in as the two denominations joined in. So for a long time, she was the only woman in Louisiana.
And she was an incredible hard worker who went places where nobody else really wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
But she did. And She started this church in South Monroe, and it became the largest church pastored by a female in the United States.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I really respect about her is she really understood so clearly this call from God, and whether or not it was where people wanted to go or wanted to do, she knew that that was the mission, and so she knew she was called to that. And so we kind of use her today as almost a little bit of a foil to Jonah, who knew what he was supposed to do and kind of wanted to run from it. And so just giving an example of somebody who knew what God was calling them to do, and she ran towards the calling rather than running away.
Yeah, ran towards it and worked so hard, an incredibly hard worker, a servant of God. Mm-hmm. So I keep her picture up on my shelf to remind me. She is such a role model for pastors today.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I look at her and she's shaking her head like this at me. And sometimes she gives that thumbs up.
But
I want that thumbs up more than a head shake. She's amazing. Here's a good question for us to think about, mm-hmm. Katie, as we begin, and for y'all to think about too. This fourth chapter of the book of Jonah is an amazing thing because it shows Jonah pouting because the people of Nineveh did not repent.
Yeah.
Let's think of a time in our lives where we perhaps pouted.
So we're just telling stories on ourselves.
Just one story.
A little bit, yeah. So one, this will get it from me every time when I'm somewhere and I'm ordering food, and I'm a little bit of a picky eater, and when I order food and it comes out with all the vegetables and there's a whole garden on the plate, did I order a garden? I did not. And you have to go through and you have to pick out each individual shred of lettuce off of the food. By the time I get done with that, the food is cold and I'm boudin and I'm pouting a little bit. I'm a little bit miffed.
Mm-hmm. It's never a good thing when we pout, is
it's
it?
Not.
It just didn't. It's not becoming of us.
It's really not.
And I find myself doing that every once in a while. But I think back when I was just starting in my ministry, young clergy in Louisiana, and I was at a pastor's meeting. There were like three of us standing around, and then a big shot minister, you know, the big shot minister comes into the room, and pastor of a large church, and he comes in and
the spotlight falls.
Yeah, and everyone's looking at him now, and he comes in and he shakes hands with this person, and then passed me right up and shook hands with this person.
Got slided.
Like I was a ghost.
Uh-huh.
And I'm telling you, I pouted over that.
Yeah.
Like, could you not at least have shaken? But we all have times in our lives that we pout.
We are all human. And in this chapter, we're going to see Jonah having a human moment too. And so we ask you too, what are those moments that you can think of that may be pouting a little bit?
Okay, let's go to chapter 4.
Okay.
Old Testament book of Jonah. We're reading from the New International Version. How about if I read verses 1 through 3?
Perfect.
Okay. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. Okay, now let's back up and read the last verse of chapter 3, and that kind of sets the stage. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live.
So Jonah is displeased. He's angry. I think yours says very displeased, and mine says, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And I like that word, seemed. You know, like Jonah's looking at it, and he's calling the shot, and he doesn't like the way that one was called.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love this, because we've been asking this question over the last couple of weeks, is what one of the questions we've asked is, why does Jonah not want to go to Nineveh? And I think he's tipping a little bit of his hand here. And so he's saying, I tried, this is why I wanted to not go, because I know that you're a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's obviously upset. And so we have to ask the question several times.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Jonah upset?
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly what you said, because God showed mercy. Mm-hmm. He was preaching to them to repent.
Mm-hmm. God, and then they did.
They did, and God shows them mercy, and now Jonah is upset.
Mm-hmm. So, and I wonder, there's probably a couple of reasons behind this, and one of which we had talked about was Jonah doesn't like these people. They're kind of warring enemies.
Yeah, they're political enemies. Mm-hmm. They're a very dangerous threat to the people of Israel.
Mm-hmm. So he wants
them wiped out.
He wants God to come in, and mm-hmm. I think the biblical word is to smite. Mm-hmm. He wants God to come in and smite them. Mm-hmm.
So that's the first reason. He so hates them, he wants them wiped off the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. And the second reason,
I think he's got some pride.
Yeah, it makes him, he thinks, mm-hmm. look like a fool, because he's proclaiming their destruction, and that destruction doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And so he's thinking that they're thinking he's a fool.
Mm-hmm. So it's like the opposite of a self-fulfilling prophecy. So self-fulfilling prophecy is, I said it, and then because I said it, I went and did it. This is the opposite of, Jonah said it, and because he said it, they didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of, and then it's making a liar out of mm-hmm. him a little bit.
So there he is, Jonah.
Or a fool.
He preaches, they repent, and now he is very upset. Mm-hmm. We say it mildly when we say he was pouting. It was beyond pouting.
Yeah. He wasn't just sticking his lip out mm-mm. a little bit.
And, he was really upset.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I noticed, and he says right in verse 3, Lord, take away my life, because it's better for me to die than to live. He's in a low place again.
Yeah. And the right thing is to say again, because when he was on that ship, he wanted to be thrown overboard. He wanted his life to come to an end. And this is the second time.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's the second time he's been angry enough or sad enough or distressed enough to say, end my life. Mm-hmm. And that's such an intriguing thing. A lot of times we don't get so many human moments from prophets, but he is very much wearing his heart on his sleeve. He's saying, I don't want to do this anymore. End it.
Mm-hmm. He's thinking about his life. He says, it's better for me to die than to live.
Mm-hmm. So, can I just read verse 4?
And yeah,
I think it's
four.
And uh-huh. I think it's a question for God to Jonah, and it's a question for us too. Because it says, but the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? And so this is the question God asked Jonah. And this is the question we ask ourselves, and I think at home too, everybody, we have to ask this question, is it right to be angry? Mm-hmm. Or are we allowed to be angry at God? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Is it right to be angry? Is it right to be pouting right now? Mm-hmm. He wants Jonah to think about his actions and to think about mm-hmm. his reactions mm-hmm. and what he's doing.
And so what do we think? Is Jonah in the right for being angry here?
Yeah, in hindsight, and looking back over all these so many years, we say, absolutely not.
Right.
How selfish and prideful for him to do that. But to put ourselves in his shoes, maybe we would think and feel a little bit different.
Oh, I think so. I think this is something I love about Jonah, and I get mad at him sometimes because I'm seeing myself in Jonah, and so I think I'm harder on him for that reason, because there are times in which I go, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. Why are we still doing this? And it's not what I wanted to do. Jonah clearly didn't want to go and do this. And then when he does it, something, you know, this is what happens, and here we are, and I'm mm-hmm. still on this same hook. I don't want to be here. And God says, is it right for you to be angry?
Mm-hmm. God doesn't fuss at him. He doesn't say, you have no right to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
He just said, is it right for you to be angry?
It's a wise question. I think, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when somebody says something to me and I react defensively, God's not defensive here. He's asking a very cool-headed question. Mm-hmm. Is it right for you to be angry?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's continue with the story.
Okay.
How about doing the next paragraph?
Okay, so I'll start in verse 5. Jonah had gone out and sat at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Waited to see what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live.
So there he goes again.
Mm-hmm. So can we talk about this, you know, leafy plant and worm? And this didn't come up in my vacation Bible school class. I think the story of Jonah pretty much ended after chapter 3. And so this is a little bit strange, what's going on here. It's almost like a parable.
Yeah.
But that's happening in real life.
Yeah. A lot of people think that the actual plant was a juniper tree,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which you see all over the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of grows pretty quickly, if I remember
mm-hmm.
correctly.
Mm-hmm. Some people think that Jonah had a hair deficiency.
Oh, so it's keeping him from getting sunburned.
Right, right. And those of us who struggle with that issue,
we don't know anybody, but if there are, if there might be somebody out there.
Yeah, I have an affinity for this. It's painful for the sun to beat down on a head that's not covered by hair.
Mm-hmm.
Painful. And so some people theorized Jonah was bald.
That's fair. And I think, it's this plant is growing up to just be able to shade him and protect his head from, mm-hmm. from the scorching sun. That mm-hmm. makes sense. And then a worm comes up and chews the plant and it just kind of dies. And so then the sun, he's no longer protected from the sun. And so it beats down on him again.
And so Jonah once again says, everything is going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's better for me to die than to live.
You ever have one of those days?
He's having one of those days. He builds the thing and he's protected himself and then the plant dies.
Yeah, and it seems very, I guess the term is Johnny come lately. It's the plant is here and I'm happy. The plant is gone and I want to die. It's
mm-hmm.
just when things are going my way, I'm on the top
mm-hmm.
of the world. And then when one thing goes wrong, everything is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And very, I don't know if Johnny come lately is the right term there for that, but he's very going with when it's on his favor, he's
right,
in.
Right. In hindsight, to us, it's kind of comical.
Yeah.
But at the time, it's not comical.
Oh yeah, I've been stuck out in the hot sun, and I'm like, oh, this is how it ends.
Yeah.
And so in verse 9, we get the same question again, and just a little bit differently. God says to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." This is
the third time.
Third
he said
time
it
in
now.
Chapter 4, mm-hmm. so fourth time total. I wish I were dead.
Mm-hmm. So God asking, as you said, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? And he answers God,
mm-hmm.
I have a right to be angry.
Yeah.
In fact, I so have a right to be angry that I want to die.
Mm-hmm. And what God doesn't ask, but I like that he says, I have the right to be angry. How so?
Mm-hmm.
This is what God tells me sometimes.
Yeah.
How is that? Where did you get that right? But he doesn't say that. God is kinder in this. And so I'll give the response. It's in starting in verse 10. But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh?"
And that's how the story ends.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what happens to Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if Jonah repents
mm-hmm.
of himself
yeah.
And realizes what he's done and his attitude. We don't know if he goes back home.
Yeah, it's kind of like a play, and then the curtain falls before and the scene ends before we get to see the big resolution, or if there's a resolution. We don't know if Jonah ever stops being angry.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. So how does this last little section answer Jonah's question or Jonah's
mm-hmm.
statement? I'm angry enough to die. I have a right to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then God says, you've been concerned about this vine. How does that answer the Jonah's concern?
Well, I think God is trying to say, you had something that was going for you and you liked it because it was going for you. And then when it's gone, it's gone. I made this vine, but I also made you. I also made the land. I made the mountain, and I made the city of Nineveh. I made every person in that city and every animal that's roaming around that city. Don't I have the right to be concerned about them? And
yeah, I think that's it exactly. You know, sometimes we think we should determine
mm-hmm.
who is blessed and who's not blessed, yeah, and who's forgiven and who's not forgiven.
Who's insiders and who's outsiders.
Yeah. Who's offered mercy and who's not offered mercy. Mm-hmm. But is it up to us?
It's not. God is saying very clearly, I am a God of mercy. I am a God of compassion. I am the God who gets to make these decisions because that is who I am. And I'm telling you where to go and to do it.
Yeah. And so often we want to put ourselves in the role of God. Mm-hmm. And we think we decide and it's up to us.
Yeah. And this is one of those stories that it really smacks me in the face because sometimes I do want to have that power because somebody wrongs me and I want to say, well, you're going to pay for that someday.
Mm-hmm.
What? How do I know?
Yeah.
That may or may not be true.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my decision to make. I want it to be sometimes.
We do want it to be, but it...
But that's not the case.
It's not going to be.
Yeah.
Interesting little way of phrasing things. The Lord said, you've been concerned about this vine and so forth, but Nineveh has 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left.
Yeah.
The interesting little phraseology there.
Yeah.
They cannot tell their right hand from their left.
Yeah.
Think about this question, those of you watching. What do you think that means when God says the people of Nineveh cannot tell their right hand from their left? What's God saying about the people of Nineveh?
Good answer.
I like that. It's profound.
One thing I think that might be hinting at is we don't know what the people of Nineveh know about God. No, perhaps nobody has ever taught them who this God is. And we have a little bit of a hint of that when Jonah tells them to repent. And they go about trying to repent, but they don't really know what to do. So they start putting sackcloth on the animals, and they're really all in. But I don't know that they know exactly how to do things. And so from that I get that, how do we know that they're not good people? No one taught them to be good. No one taught them to fear God.
I think that's true. God's saying these people just don't know very much. They don't have a clue.
Yeah.
And Jonah, who are you to get on your high horse and say they should all be destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
These people are struggling. They don't have any idea.
Right.
They don't know their right hand from their left hand.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's very interesting that God says this about the Ninevites because in a way it's also true of Jonah, not knowing his right hand from his left, because a couple chapters ago Jonah's running away from God and he does know better.
Mm-hmm.
And God comes and provides and is merciful to Jonah. And Jonah's grateful for it, just like he's grateful for that plant over his head. But when it's for somebody else, then why bother being merciful?
Mm-hmm.
You should just be merciful to me.
Right, it's all about me.
It's all about me.
Okay. We've completed now reading the four chapters.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to do is think about some big picture takeaways from the book as to what the book of Jonah means to us across the centuries.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we hadn't really chatted about this too much ahead of time, but we're going to kind of bounce back and forth as to a takeaway, a takeaway, a takeaway, mm-hmm, until we run out of takeaways.
Okay.
What's one takeaway?
One is God is merciful and compassionate, and we see God being merciful and compassionate in the Old Testament. I get this question a lot of, how come the God of the New Testament is so kind and loving and generous, and the God of the Old Testament is just wrath and fire and brimstone all the time? That's not completely so.
That's not completely accurate,
maybe we're not seeing it right. God is merciful and compassionate. It's the same God in the Old Testament as the New Testament. We just maybe are having some horse blinders on.
Mm-hmm.
God is compassionate and merciful to Jonah and to the people of Nineveh over and over again. But
yeah,
we just didn't see it that way.
Yeah. God is merciful in the Old Testament, and he's wrathful in the New Testament.
Absolutely.
And on the opposite.
And opposite back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. What's another takeaway for you?
Another takeaway is that it's difficult to run away from God. When God calls you to do something, you can try to run away, but ultimately God is pretty persistent.
Yeah.
And with the story of Jonah, God was persistent.
Mm-hmm. I like that. He really is. He doesn't give up on Jonah. He doesn't really seem to be too mad at Jonah. He's just going to be on him all over the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I noticed is God doesn't have outsiders. God seems to say, Jonah, you are mine. Nineveh, I want you. Cattle, I want you. You don't know your right hand from your left, but you are mine. I created you. Mm-hmm. Created the land, created the sea. God doesn't have these lines of who's in and who's out. God wants everybody in.
Yeah, the John 3:16, mm-hmm. for God so loved the world. And that's why we have this. A theme of the book of Jonah is God's love for the world. The people mm-hmm. of Israel at times thought that God's love and mercy was just for them. Mm-hmm. But the story of Jonah, the story of all of Scripture, says that God's love is for the entire world, for everybody.
Right. And we make that mistake sometimes. We think that this love that we get, maybe it can't be, maybe there's a finite amount, and so if we just don't pass it on to anybody, we can get all of God's love for ourselves. But that's not what it was meant for. It is meant to be shared. It's meant to be poured out to anyone and everyone, mm-hmm. regardless.
If Jonah were here today sitting down mm-hmm. with us, what would you say to Jonah? And then what do you think Jonah would say to us?
That's a good question. Yeah. If he were here, oh, go ahead. Did you have one?
Uh-uh.
If he were here, I want to know what it felt like when he was in the fish. That moment that was probably still terrifying, but he knew that he was alive and he was praying and just in complete darkness, and yet God was there. I'm sure that was just a complicated ball of emotions. So, and I kind of just would want him to flesh out what he was feeling there.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine it's a lot.
Yeah. So Jonah, talk to us about that.
Yeah.
What was it like? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be fascinating?
I think so. Yeah.
What would Jonah say to us if he was sitting here? I think he'd say, God has called you, God's called me, God has called you, and God is merciful, and wake up to that.
Yeah.
And spread the news of God's mercy mm-hmm. to everyone. I think Jonah learned his lesson. I do.
I do. I agree. I think he learned his lesson. And I think that one of the things he learned is misplaced anger. So mm-hmm. he has these moments where he kind of is lashing out. He lashes out at Nineveh, and then he even kind of lashes out at God, and mm-hmm. and it's pretty clearly misplaced. And mm-hmm. so I think he learns a few things about mm-hmm. that misplaced anger and how it can kind of just eat you alive.
Yeah. We don't know that he learned his lesson because
True.
The story just
it ends. Yeah.
But Katie and I both believe he went back to his home mm-hmm. a different person.
That's
true. Because he had an encounter with a merciful God who changed his lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that his life was changed.
Absolutely.
So what do you think happened to Jonah? You think he stayed in Nineveh pouting? Did he move there? Did he go back home? What do you think happened to him? If you were writing chapter 5, what would you write?
Yeah. That's interesting. So one thing I want to draw our attention to, so we see this conversation between Jonah and God, and there's a few moments in the Bible where we see God having a back and forth, seemingly tennis match conversation. Sometimes it's just the word of the Lord, but this time it seems to be a little bit of conversation, and we see it, that's the first thing we see in the book of Jonah, and it's the last thing that we see is God gets the first word, and then God gets the last word.
Let's read that first and last word.
Okay.
Why don't you read the first word and I'll read the last.
Okay. So from chapter 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me.
So there is God right at the very beginning of Jonah. God is there.
Mm-hmm.
The very last verse of the book of Jonah is again spoken by God. Should I not be concerned about that great city? So God is there at the beginning and God is there at the end.
Mm-hmm. And so in this way, I really do think this is a story of Jonah, but this is the story of God.
Yes.
And God's really trying to get some point across of this city I care about, this person I care about, everything, these animals I care about, go preach and be who you are called to be.
Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And to me, that points to Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
God's at the beginning. God's at the end. And
Absolutely.
It's about mercy and grace and doing what God has called us to do. Mm-hmm. I have really enjoyed these 4 weeks looking at the prophet Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the 12 minor prophets, but so worthwhile to read and study.
Yeah, I love his humanness. He's vulnerable. A lot of times you want to ask, you know, what did they really think about that? What did they really think about? Jonah tells you, I'm angry. I am so angry, I want to die. So we get a little bit of that insight with Jonah. Sometimes you just see the prophets go and you don't really get to hear their inner dialogue. But I appreciate that about Jonah, that he reminds us that sometimes prophets are humans too, and we are humans too. Even when we have a call from God, we still have our human moments.
Yeah, what a great book to study. Thanks for joining us today and for these 4 weeks. And we'll do it again in a few weeks.
So stay tuned. We'll be giving out more information soon on our next study. And we're so appreciative of you joining us and asking questions and just interacting. And we so enjoy it. And we appreciate you all.
Okay, and let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for these weeks studying the prophet Jonah. And I do pray that we will learn from his example. Lord, help us to always remember that you are a merciful God.
Yes.
And for us to preach your word of mercy and hope and second chances. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks again, and God bless you.